Just before Pastor Kerry gets up to speak, we had a really powerful time in the prayer room this morning, as usual. And God just gave me a vision. And I know he's already at work in this. But he gave me this vision of dry ground. Like it was just this very barren plain. And there were some really deep cracks in this dry, dry land. And I just believe that the Lord showed me that there's this living water that he wanted to pour into these deep, deep cracks. Not to flood the place. Just enough to sit in the cracks, to soak in the dryness, and to really penetrate and work in the roots. And I just feel that that's a symbol for what God wants to do in the dry places of our lives this morning. He wants to work in the roots. He wants us to soak in his living water. And he wants to nourish us at our roots. So get prepared. Why don't we welcome him, Pastor Kerry.
Thanks, mate. Good morning, church. How are you? That's a really prophetic word Pastor Craig just gave, because he doesn't know, he wouldn't have a clue what I'm speaking on this morning. Well, he knows what I'm speaking on, but he doesn't know what's in here. And Joy Taylor, welcome home. I always love it when Joy's there. She never falls asleep. She always looks at me when she's up there and she's smiling away and nods. So welcome back. It's exciting to have you back in the flock. I spent a few days on holidays last week with the kids and Sally, and we were going to have a guest speaker here this morning, and they had to pull out. They couldn't get here. So you know, the Lord. I said, well, no, I'm gonna speak. And this morning's message was overcome spiritual lethargy. And I thought, just after coming off the spiritual warfare one, it makes sense that I'd be speaking on this. And I'm just really excited to bring this word to you this morning. So I hope you've got your outlines, and welcome, Kia ora. Welcome to some New Zealand people down the front here. It's always good to have the Kiwis and, you know, chanting the All Blacks and all that sort of thing. Good to have you here in the house this morning. So overcoming spiritual lethargy, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we receive the words that Pastor Craig just said, Lord, and we just pray right now, Holy Spirit, just soak us. Don't flood us, but just soak us right now. Lord, let the water go right down to the soles of our feet. And Lord, let it just soak into our bodies right now. Lord, it's this word, Lord, I pray that everyone will be attentive to what you would have to say to us this morning. And I pray for the spirit of joy to rise up. I pray, Lord, for the smiles on people's faces to start taking place right now. And we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that you loved us. And we just want to say, Lord, we love you. And we all said, amen. 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 Well, look, the impetus behind all great art. Well, who's an artist here? There must be some artists in the room. All right, so the impetus behind all great art, the impetus behind all great literature, the driving force behind all great drama. Who loves drama? That's drama as in theatre, not drama as in life's dramas. And all great architecture is passion. Passion is what makes great things. Passion is what mobilizes armies to sacrifice themselves in battle. Passion is what enables and drives scientists to find new cures for dreaded diseases. Passion is what equips athletes to break records to get to the Olympics. Passion is what sustains you in reaching your goal as you go through life. Nothing great is done without passion. Passion turns the impossible into possible. It energizes life. Are you energized? Right. So it's all about passion. It's all about passion. Passion is what makes your life alive. And without passion, your life is dull and boring. God wants you to live a passionate life. He wants you to sense the passion that He has put within you by His own nature. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was this: love the Lord your God, love the Lord God, with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And that comes from Mark 12:30 from the Message. I love that. Love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. That is what most of us really want to do, isn't it? But some of us have gone into a state of spiritual lethargy. And even though we still believe all the right stuff, the passion for Christ and Christianity has somewhat been drained away. So what happened? After a while, that passion began to drain out of your life, and enthusiasm began to fade. Your zest and your zip for joy in your life began to go away. Life became so daily, it became so mundane, it became so routine. Some place, same thing, one Powerball, yah, 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 yah. You might have heard your spouse say that you've lost that energy and joy that when we first met. Your dreams have begun to gather dust. It's a predictable pattern. And it's something that happens to most of us at some point of our Christian walk. First thing, you get the blah, blah, blahs. And then you begin to lower your expectations in life. And then you begin to question things that are going on around you. You inevitably, if you let this go, you'll spiral out of control, and you'll find yourself going through the motions of faith with no passion whatsoever to back them up. This results in guilt. It results in lack of desire to serve the Lord. And eventually, if something isn't done about it, you'll find yourself dropping out of church and church life altogether. So how do I get it back? How do I get the zip and the zing and the joy and the passion back? Has anyone ever felt like that? If you're in this state of mind and you don't get there, you won't get there overnight. You didn't get there overnight, rather. So please be patient in the process this morning. So number one, rediscover your purpose. How do we do that? Living without purpose is the most common reason people lack passion. Without a purpose for living, why bother? Why put forth the effort? Why get out of bed in the morning? If you have no reason for using energy, why expend it? Why not just check in and say, been there, done that? The fact is, life seems pretty futile, and if you don't know your purpose. And many Christians actually don't know their purpose. And it's weird that they don't know their purpose. A lot of us get our gifting and purpose all mixed up. So we go on this merry-go-round of looking and looking and looking for our purpose in life. Just a quick show of hands. Who knows their purpose? Ooh, that's good. There's a lot of you that obviously don't. The longer you go through adult life without clarifying what God's purpose is for your life, the less passion you're going to have. And that's a fact. Because passion and purpose, they go together. Without purpose, life is passionless and there's no reason for enthusiasm over the long haul. On the other hand, a clear purpose creates passion. The greater your purpose in life, the more passionate you're going to be about living and the more fully alive you're going to be. Now, if you have a little dinky purpose, I live for myself, then you're not going to have much passion in life. If you have a medium-sized purpose, well, then you're going to have a medium, moderate amount of passion. But if you get God's purpose in your life, which is huge, it's all that God meant for you to be, and you begin to see that you're part of the kingdom, that you're part of his big kingdom and you're part of his plan, you're going to have an amazing, amazing amount of passion. And you commit yourselves to his purpose and your life and sharing the news with other people, you have is an enormous purpose and it creates significant passion in your life. There's nothing more significant than being what God made you to be. There is nothing more significant than doing what God made you to do. And there's thinking like God made you to think and sharing the greatest cause in the world, the advancement of his kingdom. There is no greater cause and it creates the greatest amount of passion in life. Bill Crabtree, where are you? Come up and give a testimony. Can you give him a microphone? I want Bill to share something with you that I think is important.
Well, I lost my faith nearly completely. But I grew up as a young boy. I had faith. At the age of 8, I remember sitting at the end of my bed and just crying and saying, "Thank you, God, you love me," just for 10 minutes, actually. And then as I got older, I had asked Jesus into my life. And then 23, I asked the Holy Spirit in, or someone prayed for me. And then married Monique, went to Esperance. Chris Gabriel, a prophetic voice. I don't know if anyone knows Chris, do they? Anyone know him? He gave me a very powerful word. And he said that you'll run through a troop and leap over a wall. And the Lord's raising you up to be a radical man. And I know those that know me well wouldn't agree with that. I'm not very radical, am I? He says, "You're a radical man. You're a radical man. You're a radical man." And he didn't know me from a bar of soap. And so then I had this excitement when I was in Esperance in the 1990s. And then I had a difficult period. And we saw people healed. We saw people, demons come out of them. Life was very exciting. Went to the John Wimber conference. And then everything went wrong. Church, I was an elder in a church and the pastor was touching women and I told him off, so they sacked me. I was looking after a mother who had Alzheimer's and Monique was looking after her with me. She was doing it more than me. And my family, my sisters got jealous because my brother said about money or something, and were we stealing from my mother? And then Mum started to say things like, we said, "Well, Mum, it's probably time you went into more care." And then she translated that wrong, of course, because my sisters were looking for an opportunity to be a bit negative about Monique and I. And couldn't be further from the truth. We were just loving on our mother tremendously. So then my family disintegrated and I lost my sisters. There's 10 of us in the family. Really tragic, really sad. And then I lost my job. Then Monique got chronic fatigue or something or whatever it was, and Jonathan and our son got mumps and our daughter collapsed on the school. Everything just went wrong. Everything. You know, about a dozen things you could list went wrong. And so I just sort of, "Whoa, what's this all about, God?" You know, and the 30% of the church, I said, "Well, come to our shed." So they came to our shed and we kept going church there for 3-4 months and I kept leading the worship. So in the end, I just stopped praying. I thought, "Well, I don't get it. You know, God, I don't know where you are." And then Kerry and, you know, Monique, we came to this church and I would come occasionally just to keep Monique company, really. I loved her so much. I wanted to be with her. And we had a home group at our place, and Kerry and the crew would come. Devon were part of that, and Vanessa, Sally, and Kent and Pam. And they kept praying for me, which was wonderful. And then one day I said to God, God, if you're still there, you've got to come and get me. So, you know, and I felt dead. I was dead inside. I'd lost my passion. And people used to say to me, Bill, you're so enthusiastic and, you know, it's great, you know, but you're a bit too enthusiastic. But I'd lost all of that. I was dead. I was like, and I felt, you know, the old clocks you wind up and the old-fashioned ones, you wind them up and then after a while they go tick, 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 tick. And I wasn't sure if there was one more tick in me. And that's when I said, you know, God, if you really need to come and get me. And Monique said, about a week later, she said, there's this really interesting guy who's speaking at Reg Moraes' church at the Sears Conference. His name is Robert Mawiri. And I said, oh, yeah, why is he weird? And she said, well, he anoints people and they become kings of Africa and presidents. And I said, oh. And he gave a word to Benjamin Netanyahu in 1988. This is not your land. This land belongs to the Lord God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Do not give any land away. Well, what if I do, says Benjamin Netanyahu. And he says, well, God said he'll remove you from office. And he says, oh, Robert, have you not heard that here in Israel we stone our prophets? Anyway, 4 years later, he was in New York. He signs giving Gaza away, pulls all the Jews out of Gaza. Before his aeroplane lands in Tel Aviv, he's overthrown. His government's gone. You might remember 1992. Google it if you like. Google Robert Mawiri because there he is giving him a prophetic word. Anyway, now this man's become very important in my life because he, after he spoke and he talked about the light horse charge in Perth, tears started streaming down my face and I thought, oh, God, I don't know what you're doing, but oh, I think you've answered my prayer. I think you're calling me back. I felt him calling me. And so I got down on my knees the next day on Sunday. Monique came to church and God said to her, Bill's praying, which she hadn't done for a long time. And she thought, well, God, if you're doing it, I don't have to go back. You'll be all right. He's in your hands. Got down on my knees and said, God, I don't know what you were doing, but I know you're God because you've answered my prayer again. You brought me back. And then there was no lightning bolts. I just got up from that kneeling position, said, okay, I'll do what I have to do. I know what I've got to do straight away. And Kent reminded me this at one of the home groups, to make sure you've gone through all the people that you haven't forgiven. Forgive all of them, every single one of them. You know, prayer for God will quicken your spirit. Sure enough, I did that. And then I couldn't stop singing. I was a real nuisance in the home group for the next 3 months. Because I just wanted to sing all the time. And you know, hallelujah. And I'd lost my voice before this. I could sing in tune really well before, but I had lost it. You know, I couldn't hold a note. And I used to sing in a barbershop quartet. So this was in my... this song kept going through my head. I feel him in my fingers. I feel him in my bones. I just want to rejoice. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, that was 3.5 years ago. Interesting timing. 3.5 years, not seven, 3.5. That from now. And now God is kicking huge goals in my life. Kerry put out a little missions report about 10 days ago. If you want to go back and look at it. Did anyone read that trip to Africa report? Did anyone read that? Mm. We've been to Africa 3 times this year. And I have visited 3 ministers for agriculture. Every one of them was a miraculous opening that the Lord did. Just this recent time, when we got on the plane, I've learnt that Romans 8:28 is true. You know what Romans 8:28 is? All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And even this crooky throat that I've got now, I've had it for 5 weeks and I've had about 20 of you pray for me. It's not gone. But you know what I've learnt? Hallelujah. 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 I am thrilled because I know that God is in it. Because all things Isn't that true? All things, that's what the word says. So all things work together for good. So even this crooked throat, I don't know why it's still here. And I've prayed and others have prayed. But I know this is what I did not do for 10 years. I did not rejoice in my suffering. I did not rejoice that I had a family challenge. I did not rejoice that I lost my job. I did not rejoice that I got kicked out of the church. And I did not rejoice that my family were crook. All things. Peter, James and John, the three closest to Jesus. You read their last epistles. They say, I have learned the secret to life. It is to rejoice in your suffering. You know, and pray. Continue to pray, sure. So now I know that all things work together for good. So when Monique booked me on the wrong flight from Johannesburg to Harare, we tried to change it. It cost $400 American. And I said, no, don't worry about it. God's in this. So Monique got on the plane first. She was looking around. Well, who's my appointment? It wasn't hers. I get on the plane and I get to sit next to the Minister for Finance for Zimbabwe. Because the Lord's put in my heart, feed Africa, feed my sheep, feed them. They're hungry. They're coming to Christ by the droves, by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. Feed them. They don't have food. They're hungry. And this is who I'm an expert at. The Lord made me an expert in agriculture. He gave me revelation and ideas dropped into my head 40 years ago about how to do agriculture better. And the Lord has used me to revolutionise agriculture in Australia and drought-proof farmers. They can grow crops now they could never grow before. We've grown a crop on 140 mils this year that's going to be worth $1.5 million with 140 mils of rain. It's nothing. It's nothing. God has done it.
Praise God.
So then, I've probably got another minute, I think. It's the trouble. If you ask someone up here that wants to talk about passion, you know, they're going to have a bit of passion, so time's a bit of a challenge. But I just want to finish on this issue of... we met with the Minister for Agriculture as well in Zimbabwe, and he then decided after that meeting he wanted to send two plant breeders around to meet with me the next day. And so we talked about plant breeding issues for Africa. Look, the doors that God is opening, no one can shut. And the door that God shuts, no one can open. So don't go banging on that door. There's no joy in that.
That's it.
And every one of you has got a mission in their heart. Psalm 139, which was beautifully read out this morning in prayer. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you have a purpose and a mission that God has put in your heart. Don't go following anybody else. Follow the Holy Spirit. Sure, be encouraged by others, but don't take their words as yours. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you and confess your sins daily because you're still human. I think that's... I mean, I could go on forever and tell you lots of stories.
You just preached my message, but anyway, go on.
Oh, I hadn't actually read your message. Hallelujah. Perhaps I'll just pray. Is that all right, Kerry?
Yeah, great.
Father, just plant a seed in everyone here, if they haven't got one. Just Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, you've called every person here for a special purpose, and it's not my purpose, and my purpose is not their purpose. But Lord, help them to see it. Just take the scales from their eyes, soften their heart so that they can feel you in their fingers and feel you in their bones. Thank you, Lord, that you love us all so much. Even while we were sinners, Christ, you died for us, and we just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
Yeah, if you don't know Bill, he's just full of energy. He's a great teacher. He's got a gift of teaching. And if you ever get a chance to go out into their farm, which I know delighted to have people come and visit him out there. It gets pretty lonely sometimes out in the middle of the Never Never, but he's just got this passion back. And as I said, you know, in our Connect group, we were praying for him, for Monique, and for him to get back this passion for Christ. And when he did, he's just unstoppable. You can't stop him. But he's gifted in farming. He's got that gift God's given to him. But his purpose is sharing the gospel. And you put the two together, and oh my goodness. You know, I thought I could, I've seen some pretty amazing things in my life, but in his life, it's just incredible what's happening, what God is doing. And it's so exciting to see, really exciting. So the next Bible verse that I actually had, he didn't know this, is this one here. Romans 8, 28 to 29. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. See, verse 28 tells us that God works for good in the lives of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose for them. But verse 29 explains that his purpose is, it is for us to become like his son, Jesus Christ. So can I see a show of hands who now knows what their purpose is? We're getting somewhere. Now we can come up with all kind of individual purposes, but the one that we can say that is very true for every Christ follower is that the main purpose that we have in life, which is to live like Jesus Christ. That's it. When we forget that purpose and begin following our own agendas instead of the one God has chosen us for, we go into a state of spiritual lethargy. Now, the only way to come out of this is to rediscover, restate, and begin living by the purpose God has clearly given to us. Bill is a great example of that. And my prayer today is that I hope many of you, after this message, will be like Bill, like Jesus. Number two, unwrap your spiritual gift. God has given you certain gifts and abilities. He gave them for you for a purpose. If you are stuck in a job or a career that ignores your talent, you're going to lose your passion for that job. Because there's boredom, there is a boredom factor there. All studies show that a large percentage of all Australians are in the wrong job. If you've got a job that uses 30% of your talent and gifting and abilities and the brain power, that leaves 70% of a boredom factor. The same is true in the kingdom of God. If you're not using spiritual gifts that God has given you, you will become bored with the Christian life because you're not being used the way God intended you to be used. Now, you're never going to find a job or a career that uses 100% of your talents because God never meant for you to find total fulfillment just in your career. That's why you need to have a ministry or be part of a ministry where you're doing something outside of your career. Using talents that you're not using at work in ways that can be used to bless the body of Christ and help the world to make a better place. I should write a song about that. But it's true. It concerns me that Pastor Craig sometimes has to get up here and plead for the people of this church to get off their chairs and be part of a ministry. Whereas I can see 250-odd people in this room and automatically I think, wow, there is giftings in everywhere. This place should be humming. It should be humming. You do it just out of sheer joy of using your talents. The Bible says that God put you on this earth for a purpose and he has a place for you to play in the world. He's got a little niche for you. You discover that niche by discovering what you're good at finding and finding your talents. In 1 Corinthians 12:7 it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us, which means you have all got a spiritual gift, as a means of helping, what? Who? the entire church. You know, I love it at the end of the year when Hillside Church puts on a thank you dinner for the volunteers. You know, most churches might have 12 people rock up because they've got 12 volunteers. I think last year we nearly had about 84 volunteers rock up. That's huge for a church this size. That's nearly half the church. It's amazing that we've got such a generous and people want to use their gifts in this church. But there's a whole lot more that aren't using their gifts to help the church. And you might be sitting there today thinking, oh, but I'm useless. You might have been installed in by parents or by teachers saying, oh, you're no good. Well, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible here clearly says to me that a spiritual gift is given to each of us as means of helping the entire church. Believe what you read in the Word of God. Now, if you haven't discovered what your gift is, or if you've discovered it but aren't using it, it's no wonder you're becoming bored in your Christian walk. You need to discover what you're good at and then find the place where you can use it in that way. One of the purposes of the church is to find you help. You find that niche. You know, I've got people coming to me all the time and say, oh, can I please do that? Go for it. If it's going to help the church, you go for it. If you're gifted in that area, you go for it. I mean, if everything was left up to me, oh my goodness, there'd probably be one person here, and that'd be my wife championing me. Well, I don't know, she might not. Ask people around you what they think your gifting is. See, a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm gifted at this. You know, they get up and they'll, I don't know, I'm trying to get an example. Sing out a tune. You know, but I'm a great singer. I love the Lord. And I think I'm a great, but that's not my gift, but I think it's my gifting. Ask people around you what they think your gifting is, because if what you operate in, people see. And people see that gifting in you. So we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So encourage one another and say, you know what, I believe your gifting is this and this. I did this with a group of young people once. I said, okay, get Charlie to stand there, and you 10 people, you write down what his gifting, what you think his gifting is. And they were all different things. But you know what? There was a line of the similar, what people saw. Ask people what you think that you're gifted at. Begin today using what you already know that you're gifted at and build from it, from there. Number three, confess and repent all sin. Hey. Confess and repent of all sin. You don't hear that spoken about much, do you? Now, there are a few things that rob our joy more quickly, that rob our passion faster than the unconfessed sin and the guilt that comes from that. What many of us do is rationalize it subconsciously. We don't think about it consciously, but we push it down, and subconsciously it's affecting our lives. Psalm 38 says, my guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. You can't feel enthusiasm and guilt at the same time. It doesn't work. You can't feel that. Don't even try to be, oh, I'm all this person, when you're guilty of something and you haven't dealt with it. It just doesn't work. Most of you use computers on a daily basis and know what happens when your system crashes. And some of you are in the middle of a personal system crash. And some of you are bordering. You know, last week when I said, you know, say the Lord's Prayer, it teaches us to say it daily, to pray to God daily. Give us our daily bread. not monthly bread or yearly bread, our daily bread. We should be in communication with our Father every day. And part of that being, part of talking to our Father is asking for forgiveness of sins. It sounds like it would be the most difficult problem to solve, doesn't it? But unfortunately, it's really one of the easiest problems to solve when it comes to passion of our lives. 1 John 19 says, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. Wow! All I have to do is take it to God, tell Him the truth about who I am and ask Him to forgive me and promise to follow His way. I'm free! I'm free! I want my joy back. I want my passion back. Lord, forgive me. I need to ask Him to help me start living in the way all over again. We want to keep short accounts with God instead of letting it go a few hours or a week or a month or even a year. You can tell people that are holding on to guilt for a long time. You can see it in their demeanor. As soon as we know there's something wrong, we need to immediately go to God with it. Confess it and get back to living life again. Remember last week, I mentioned that. We've got to go to God daily. Seek first the kingdom of God. 4, resolve any conflict. Resolve any conflict. Have you ever started the day thinking, this is going to be a great day? Have you? Then you have a fight with your husband or wife. And all the zip is drained away. It's one of those things when an unresolved conflict just eats away at us. The passion just drains right out of us. It's like letting air out of a tire. Life just goes flat. Some of you are in situations at home or even at work or even at college where there is constant conflict or there is a conflict going on that is unspoken about. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it. And you can't do anything about it. And you can't change it. So what do? How do you keep that from draining the passion from your life? Here's what you can do about it. If you want to be passionate, no matter what conflict you have to live with, you need to avoid 3 passion-killing emotions in your life. The enemy loves these 3 things for you to be feeling, and they are resentment. I'm going to write this down, write it down. Resentment, jealousy. So you got resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. Resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. Job 5:2 says, surely resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. Ephesians 4:26-27 says, don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Remember last week I spoke about that. Those 3 words, resentment, jealousy, and anger, will kill your passion every time. This is why God tells us that forgiveness is so important. This is why God teaches us again and again to forgive people. How many times should I forgive them? He knows what it does to us. If I hold on to anger in my life, I'm allowing other people through that resentment to control my emotions and have effect on my feelings, have effect on my passion. And eventually, through that, they control my passion and control my life. And dare I say it, it sucks when that happens. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking life actually sucks. It's horrible. But God doesn't want us to feel like that. The enemy does. And eventually through that, they control my passion and my control in my whole life. If I want my passion back, I've got to learn to forgive. And I've got to learn to let go. And if you want your passion back, you've got to learn to let go. If you don't, it will eat you up. And it will destroy you. It will destroy your joy. It will destroy your passion. And it will destroy your Christian faith. That was pretty heavy, wasn't it? Oof. It's the truth. Number five, invest in yourself. You've got to invest in yourself. It's a root. Pastor Craig talked about a root, going into the root. It's a root. Passion is a spiritual issue. It's a matter of the heart. You can't restore your passion with money. You can't restore your passion with a pill. It comes from within the heart. You know, you're more than just a body. God gave you a spirit. He gave you the ability to talk to Him and commune with Him and to be passionate. You need to nourish your spirit by investing in yourself spiritually. Every week there are circumstances and situations that come into your life that are conspiring to shrink your heart and to shrivel your spirit. Situations like when people are rude to you. Situations like when people criticize you or misjudge you. Situations when you face disappointment. And you know what? You can get all that on Facebook if you want to. But some of us are receiving that in our own homes, in our workplace, out there in the community. Because you are alive, you're going to face on a weekly basis problems and pain, and there are going to be situations that you worry about, and there are going to be situations that leave you bone tired and fatigued. If you don't nourish your spirit, your heart will grow cold and hard. Your spirit will shrink and shrivel up in old age, and you're going to be one of those crotchety, cranky, grumpy, irritable people that nobody likes. And you don't want that, do you? You'd be called Grandpa. You want to be fully alive until you hit the grave. Who doesn't want that? Who wants that? I want to be fully alive and then boom, bang, gone. Many people die before they die, if you know what I mean. They let their heart and their spirit shrivel up. So what's the antidote to that? You must intentionally invest in yourself by nourishing and feeding your spirit. So how do you do that? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up the nourishment from Him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done. Thank you, Jesus, for all you have done. I love you." Amen. If you want to stay passionate your entire life, you've got to get plugged into God. Seek first the kingdom of God in everything. You have to develop a daily, a vital, a growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, where your spiritual roots go deep into God's word and you spend time with him so that you can be restored and renewed spiritually on a daily, day-by-day basis. It's so simple that we often miss it. It's all it is. Invest in yourself by allowing God to speak to you through his word and through prayer. Read, pray. Pray, read. Read, pray, pray, read. Keep praying and keep reading. Wow. Is that easy? You know, when I go through times of not praying, yeah, Pastor Kerry, sometimes he doesn't pray. What? That's what happens. I start to feel... And then I start to pray. Oh, God, Lord, 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 Lord. And I start to get my joy back. And when I'm unsure of things, I go, oh, I try and go my own wisdom. And I go, whoops, what do you just say about that, Lord? It's awesome. It's an awesome feeling. When you know God and you know his word and you're talking to him, it's like I said the other day, you know, when we got our spiritual armor on and we're all walking around with soldiers and we're all got our armor on and we're just standing there with our armor on and we're just walking with our armor on. We don't know what we're doing with our armor on. We're just walking around clanging because we're not talking to our commander in chief. We're not going to bust anything. We've got to talk to our commander in chief. Read a chapter or a verse or a passage in the Bible. Sit back and say, God, let me know what you're trying to say to me today. God is a passionate God and he wants you to be passionate. The Bible tells us many times about God's passion. Now, when we talk about Jesus' death on the cross, it's called Christ's passion. And it's important that we know about God's passion in that sense. But did you know what God... that God is passionate about getting to know you and you getting to know him. God's actually passionate about that. In Exodus 34, he says, you must worship no other gods but only the Lord, for he is a God who is what? Passionate about his relationship with you. I know this is mind-boggling and hard to understand, but the creator of the universe... the one who made all of us and all of this, who made everybody in this room and everybody else, that person, God, wants to have a relationship with you. And it's not just something that's on the back of his agenda when he could get the time to do it, because he's a busy God. No, he is passionate about having a relationship with you 24/7. And if you don't get excited about that, you just don't understand the implications of what I'm saying. The creator of the universe wants you to know him and invites you into a relationship that's intimate, that's vital and passionate. The better you get to know God, the more you're going to fall in love with him. Have I told you lately? Come on. And the better you understand what he's done for you, the more passionate you're going to be about loving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Right, music team, come up. You know there's a natural passion in a new believer. You know that, don't you? When you first learn the great truths, of the good news, it makes you passionate, doesn't it? Yeah. When you learn first that every sin you've ever committed and the sin that you're going to commit have already been forgiven. And then you learn that God made you for a purpose, that there is a meaning and significance to life that makes you passionate. And then God says, I've a place called heaven that's perfect. And I've prepared a place for you. And because you've committed your life to Christ, one day you're going to spend eternity with me in that perfect place. It is guaranteed. You know, you get passionate. You get passionate when you first learn those things and you want to tell everybody, this is the greatest news that I've ever heard. Is Ethan in the room this morning? He's not. I just want a young guy, just only given his life to the Lord in the last 12 months. He's been coming here. He's been posting things on Facebook. And he's a young guy in that college down there, all on his lonesome. But he's posting things about God being his saviour, being his strength, and everything else. And while I was doing this, I had a look and it popped up and it brought me to tears. And I just said, God, I want that passion again. Here's a young guy who's just accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour. And he's in a really tough environment. And he's prepared to stand firm on what he knows and what he's passionate about. And God wants to reignite that passion in every single one of us today. But you know, as time goes by, we begin to take these benefits for granted. I wonder, has there ever been a time in your life when you are closer to God than what you are right now? I want you to think about that. You know, if the answer is yes, it's time to return to that passion you once felt. You know, I've given you several ways to do that. This is not recipe theology. This is God's word. I've given you several ways to do that, but now it's up to you. Will you take the steps necessary? You know, this Saturday, the Saturday coming, we've got the Victory Life International Committee. We decided to put a masterclass on for free at Victory Life after the conference on the Saturday. At 1 p.m. with Daniel Hagen, and what we've decided to do is that we're going to teach for an hour on evangelism, on how to go out into the streets of Perth, of the city, and evangelize to people. And you know what? Already there's 200 people signed up, and you guys are more than welcome to come along. There's going to be 200 people going into the city so far. We're probably thinking about 700. And what we're going to do, we're going to do a pop-up hymn singing right in the middle of the city, where people are going to have the band there that is going to come together with the band, and then people are going to come from the malls, from the shops, singing Amazing Grace. Because these people are passionate. They're passionate about our community. Passionate people. I've got a prayer here I want to read out. And it's actually the sinner's prayer. It's like a sinner's prayer, but I think I want us to start. It's no use me preaching the word to you and then not giving you anything to go out and start your week with. And if you're visiting here today, or if you're wondering, what is all this Jesus stuff about? Or I want to know more about Jesus. You know, you pray this prayer with me, with the whole congregation. And start your life off. Don't think that I'm not good enough yet to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour. Don't think that, oh, I've got to give up smoking, or I've got to give up this, or give up these temptations before I become good or perfect to give my life to Jesus, because that's a load of bull, okay? You don't have to do that. The only way you're going to give up all those addictions and all those stuff and get your passion back is by giving your life to Jesus, because then Jesus and the Holy Spirit can help you do that. Amen. Let's start this week. Everyone stand. And if you're going to say this prayer for the first time, if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to say this today, I want to meet you after the service. I want to pray with you after the service. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I ask you for forgiveness. I believed you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. I want to be filled with your joy. Heavenly Father, give me back that passion that I once had as I trust and follow you. In your sweet name, we all said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing.